This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Lynn Neary in Washington. Neil Conan's away. Many of the just over 3.5 million people who lost their jobs since the beginning of the recession have lost their health insurance as well. Even people who have health insurance face tough financial questions. A recent report by the Kaiser Family Foundation says nearly half of all Americans report someone in their family cut back or put off medical care or skimped on prescription medicine to cut costs. And some hospitals and doctors report seeing patients whose health is suffering because of the recession, stressed out about their financial situation. They may be drinking or smoking too much and canceling gym memberships when they need them most. Is it possible to stay healthy and save money on medical costs? We'll find out. It's part of our occasional series, Your Life in a Recession. Today, your health care in a recession. Later on the opinion page, Clarence Page takes issue with Larry King's assertion that there's a lot of advantages to being black these days. But first, your health care in a recession. Are you cutting back on your health care? What are you doing to reduce your health costs? Tell us your story. Our phone number, 800-989-8255, and the email address is talk@npr.org. And you can join the conversation at our website. Go to npr.org and click on Talk of the Nation. NPR health policy correspondent Julie Rovner is here with us in Studio 3A to help us through the maze of healthcare once again. Good to be with you, Julie.
Nice to be here.
So listen, is there really hard evidence that people are cutting back on medical care because of the recession, or is this all anecdotal?
Well, there is some hard evidence. We certainly see the poll that you cited from the Kaiser Family Foundation. I should point out that was done in October, which was really just at the start of what we think of as, you know, the big financial meltdown. And I should point out that these were not necessarily people without insurance. We're seeing a lot of people with insurance. One of the things we've been seeing certainly accelerate over this last year is people with insurance being asked to pay more by their employers, particularly this year. I think a lot of people have their open seasons and their new insurance starts at the beginning of the year, and they're being asked to pay more in premiums, in co-payments, in deductibles. So suddenly their health costs are going up. One of the things we're seeing is that people may be asked to take these wage freezes or, you know, even pay cuts,
right,
and yet their health insurance costs are going up at the same time. Health insurance or health care, health spending is going up still much faster than inflation and much faster than wages. So we're all feeling this pinch of healthcare costs going up much more rapidly, and it obviously hurts much more at a time when we do and feel like we do have less money to spend on it.
Yeah. So what are the health implications if people are beginning to skimp on healthcare as a way to save money?
Well, certainly this is where it becomes much more anecdotal. But, you know, talking to doctors, talking to hospitals, you know, you're seeing people, obviously, if you go off your blood pressure medication or your cholesterol medication, that can have healthcare, you know, consequences, large and small. You can obviously have a heart attack or a stroke or, you know, something catastrophic. People who are, you know, taking antidepressants can have, you know, problems with depression coming back, you know, more chronic conditions that can recur. Certainly there are issues of people simply having, you know, a lot more stress. People who had been going to the gym and losing weight are now, you know, reported to be gaining weight again, you know, eating perhaps cheaper but more, you know, more caloric food and therefore gaining weight, or perhaps even just more comfort food,
right,
and gaining weight because we are stressed.
Well, of course, because this whole, you know, stress is going to make people sicker.
That's right. And, you know, stress is not helpful for people who have certain chronic conditions, things like, you know, high blood pressure, which stress can actually have an impact on.
Yeah. Let's take a call now. We've got Lynn calling from Northern California. Hi, Lynn.
Hi.
Go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to share that I know that I need a colonoscopy. We're supposed to have it screening beginning at the age of 50. And if you have any changes in your bowel habits, then you're definitely supposed to have it done. And I'm not having it done because of the cost. And I've spoken with another patient recently who didn't even want to have a chest CT scan done because he was afraid if he had lung cancer, he wouldn't be able to afford the cost.
Hmm. And do you have health insurance?
I do, but it's just all the deductible and all the part that you don't get covered that could be enough to wipe you out.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks so much for calling us, Lynn.
You're welcome.
Now, there's a good example. Somebody has health care coverage and yet putting off what we know is a really good preventive test.
That's right. And there's at least anecdotal evidence. Here's an anecdote of people who are not going and getting recommended tests. And certainly preventive care would be the first thing to go. You're not sick. You feel healthy. You know you should get it. But it's money out of your pocket that you may not necessarily, you know, want to spend or feel that you're able to spend right now. And those are the first things that are going to go. I mean, obviously, if you fall down on the slip on the ice and break your ankle, you're going to go and get that dealt with. But it's the preventive stuff, the stuff that you ought to get that you feel like you can perhaps put off until maybe you feel like you have the money.
Now, this woman has health insurance. A lot of people still do. But what about people who have lost their health insurance because they've lost their job?
Well, a lot of people are in this situation where they're really desperate to try and find health insurance. Now, there's something called COBRA. It is a provision of an enormous tax and spend law from 1986, but it's the best-known provision. It lets you keep your health insurance from your job for up to 18 months, and in a few cases, 36 months, and if you leave or lose your job. But it's very expensive. Basically, what it says is you can keep that health insurance, but you got to pay the entire premium. It's pretty much where people discover just how generous their employers are when it comes to health insurance, because people get some sticker shock when they discover that, you know, the average premium just for a single person can be about $1,000. Families USA did a study a couple of months ago and found out that in, I think it was 41 states, that the average COBRA premium was 3/4 of the unemployment benefit. So it's just really unaffordable for most people to try and sign up for that COBRA benefit. In recognition of that, the stimulus bills that are now going through the House and the Senate would actually subsidize that COBRA benefit.
Oh, really?
65%. It would be 65% subsidy.
Wow.
And it would be retroactive back to last September. So if you've lost your job since last September, you would be eligible for that subsidy. Now, I think it's only a 9-month subsidy, so it wouldn't
But it would help. That would be a big help
for people who are
trying to bridge the gap between one job to the next.
Exactly. It would let you keep. And another important thing to know about COBRA is that if it's too expensive for your whole family, but there's someone who's in the middle of some kind of health event, someone who's pregnant, someone who's undergoing chemotherapy, you can actually sign up for COBRA just for that one person. You don't have to take it for the whole family. So that's an option, that it would be a little bit less expensive, but just to keep that health insurance going for that one person is a possibility under COBRA.
I want to bring our second guest into the conversation now. Francesca Lunzer-Kritz is with us. She writes a weekly column on healthcare costs for the Los Angeles Times. She's also here with us in Studio 3A. Thanks for being with us.
Nice to be here.
And you have your own health situation today. I know you've got a cold, so we'll understand that as we go along. But I wanted to ask you, continue this conversation about COBRA, because I know in one of the articles that you have written that I read that you said, I think you recommend that even if it seems very expensive, this is an option people should really try to take advantage of.
This is if they have no other alternative, for two reasons. One is it continues care, and having a discontinuation in care can mean that when you go back to getting insurance, either through your employer or on your own, you may not be eligible for some insurance. You need to have a continuation care, particularly if you have a pre-existing condition. And the other reason that it's important is that it may well be the least expensive option you can get. Although it's expensive, if you buy insurance on the open market, in most cases, COBRA will be the least expensive option for you.
If you can't do it, if you lose your health insurance during this period of unemployment and then you get a new job, what's the disadvantages or what?
It's very variable, but you may, if you had a pre-existing condition and then you let your insurance drop, you may find that when you go get your insurance or for a member of your family when you get a new job, you may find that that condition is not covered for a period of time. And again, I'm couching it because you may find that could be. One of the ways that you can certainly find out what's specific to you is that the Department of Labor is offering information both online and through telephones. And you can call them, go to the Department of Labor, I believe it's DOL.gov, and look up Job Benefits Toolkit. And you'll be able to find lots of information. And then there'll be toll-free number, and you can call them and ask them very specific questions related to you, and they can answer your very specific question.
Now, once COBRA runs out, what happens then? And once
Well,
can you continue that same health care?
There is an extension, as Julie mentioned, to 36 months for some people. But for now, once it runs out, it runs out. What remains to be seen is what other changes could happen if the economy continues to worsen. And if COBRA is the way that the president decides that he would like to help people fund their health insurance, it could continue. Another way that they may do it is that there may be an expansion of Medicaid. Medicaid now, for the most part, only applies to people who have children. There could be changes to Medicaid so that even if you don't have children, you may qualify. It's worth looking at your papers every day because there's going to be something new, and there could be something new in your own state. You want to become familiar with what happens in your state. And mm-hmm. I have found in calling state health insurance agencies, there are people standing by the phones who really want to give you good information. And if you simply put into a search engine, state health insurance agency or state health insurance information, you're going to get a toll free number with people sitting there. And although I can give you good general information, you can get information that pertains directly to you by calling these agencies.
Yeah. Julie?
At the very end of COBRA, if you can afford to do COBRA for the entire time, for the entire 18 months, you must be offered something called a COBRA conversion policy. Now, the quirk of a COBRA conversion policy is that it can be even more expensive than COBRA, and usually is more expensive than COBRA, because the only people who go to the end of COBRA are people who really have trouble getting insurance. So they are really expensive. But if you really need it, there is insurance at the end of COBRA.
Now, talking, Julie, just in terms of healthcare reform, is that something that's separate from what we're discussing now with what the president is proposing regarding to COBRA?
Yes, I mean, that is something that is separate. This is what's going on in this stimulus, which is called the recovery package. This is intended to be a down payment, sort of an immediate, short-term get people sort of over the hump of what's going on with this recession. And then Congress is going to start looking at health reform later on this year.
Yeah. Any idea how long that's going to take?
I would not hazard a guess. Some months, I think, would be a safe assumption.
Could it be within a year, though, let's say? I mean, we're in an emergency situation. It seems to me there's emergency legislation being considered. But even the long-term reform needs to be acted on quickly, I would think.
Certainly the hope is within a year.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to take a short break right now. They're going to return, continue talking about your health care in a recession and how to cut costs without hurting your health. We'll get more of your calls in a moment at 800-989-8255 or send us an email to talk@npr.org. I'm Lynn Neary. It's Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Lynn Neary in Washington. Even if you still have health insurance, there's a good chance your costs are going up. In one survey, 40% of big companies raised premiums for their workers last year. Even more plan to hike them in 2009. We're talking about the tough choices many face in this economy, your health care and a recession. Are you cutting back on your health care? What are you doing to reduce your health care costs? Tell us your story. Our phone number is 800-989-8255, and our email address is talk@npr.org. You can join the conversation at our website. Go to npr.org and click on Talk of the Nation. NPR health policy correspondent Julie Rovner is with us, and we're also joined by Fran Kritz. She writes a weekly column on health care costs for the Los Angeles Times, and we have a link to her latest column at npr.org/talk. Let's go to a caller now. We're going to go to Andrew, who is calling from Cleveland, Ohio. Hi, Andrew. Go ahead.
Hi. I find that recently my entire life has been mirroring all the current events in the news by about 5 months. Earlier this summer, I was forced to get rid of my health insurance. My employer at the time was part time, and they provided it, but I couldn't afford it through them, so I had to get it on my own. And then over time, the paycheck that was coming in from that employer just wasn't enough to cover the monthly costs, and I had to drop off health insurance. I did so midstream through a course of medication. I kept up with the course of medication as prescribed, and the unfortunate thing recently is that I've had to, there's a whole process involved in stopping this medication, and I've kind of had to research that myself and go through that myself without the ability of going to see my doctor simply because I can't afford the office visits. And it's been tricky. it's involved a lot of personal research and support from friends, but because I just, you know, there's a lot of days where I'm like, okay, what is this side effect? Why am I feeling this way?
Yeah.
And it's really scary. And also, you know, when you feel these new sensations you're not feeling before and you're worried that something is wrong, and that's only compounded when you think to yourself, well, I could go and get checked out and make sure nothing is seriously wrong. And then you stop and think, well, dear God, what if something is? What then? You know, what am I going to do? And you just, you're left with no choice and no choice.
Yeah, wait. Andrew, I'm just, Fran, do you have any thoughts to offer to Andrew? I'm just
one wondering. Thing that we have been suggesting, and it's really a suggestion of public health officers as well, is that there's a network of community health centers, clinics, and community centers. Now, it's not the same as going to your doctor where you can schedule an appointment at 2 and be seen at 2:30. You may have to wait. There may be a small copay. It may not be convenient to your home. You may not be able to get the exact same drug that you're taking. It may not be on the drug list that they offer. But it is one way of people being able to be seen by a physician and to very possibly continue a course of medication at a low cost. And it's worth looking through your state health department or city health department to ask. I don't mean to make this seem as though it's a panacea. It is not the same as simply having a doctor who knows you. But there are very able and enthusiastic providers who are providing
And are
care.
They doctors? Are there physicians there at these
you, That's a very good question. You may see nurses. You may see a doctor. You may see what they call physician extenders, physician assistants. You probably can ask to see a physician for a particular concern and then be followed up by a nurse. The other thing is that your local hospital may well have a clinic that, not the emergency room, don't go there unless you have a clear emergency because the fees for someone without insurance are very high. But you can call the hospital and ask them if they have a clinic. Even here in Washington, several have recently opened up and they will see people who don't have insurance. Again, there can be a waiting time. There can be a copay.
How can people go about trying to find out about these community health centers in their community or the clinics, as you just mentioned?
I believe that the city numbers are always 311. And if you call 311 in your city, you should be able to find ask for resource, ask for a community health resource. The other is that there's a community health center association, which you can look up on the web, and also your state and city and local health department and your public library. The libraries are, I checked my library yesterday in Silver Spring, and they had medical resources as well. And you might have bypassed these things before because you were employed and insured, but now they might be something not to bypass at all. And again, we don't mean to make this. You may have a wait. You may have to wait a few days. You may see a nurse, although you may see an extremely experienced nurse who knows these issues. But at least it's a way into the system. You can get some help this way.
Andrew, is that any help to you at all, or have you already tried all of this?
Well, the problem is in the past, when I've approached the clinics in our area, a lot of times the wait was so great. For just basic health, you know, issues, like say you've got a really nasty bug or something's going on, that by the time you can get in or find the day that you can get in to see these people, might have already passed. You know, it's kind of crazy. As far as my predicament, I was very fortunate in that the medication I was taking was a very low dosage, so I was able to kind of do it on my own, and I got off when I was scheduled to get off the medication, but I know that the resources are out there, but as it is, I now have a full-time job, and it's, you know, you don't want to become the squeaky wheel saying I need to take time off to wait all day at a clinic.
I'm sorry, did you want to
I want to say that for a bug I was talking about, either a checkup or a medical condition. If you're not feeling well, the flu, an ear infection, a child's ear infection, one option may well be, whether people have insurance or not, is a growing number of retail clinics in stores and chain pharmacies. If you have insurance, the copay can often be as little as $10. And if you don't, it tends to be about $50 or $60. And if you work with the pharmacy, there may be some discounts. So if you are concerned about a child who's sick today, those are generally staffed by nurse practitioners.
Andrew, thanks for your call. We want to get to some other folks as well. So thank you so much for calling in. I want to read an email that came in as well. This is from Sarah, I believe she's writing from Cincinnati. As someone who has been chronically sick, I can say that my health care is not only scaled back, but it's non-existent. I have lupus untreated because of a lack of health insurance. No medications, no doctors, nothing. I am afraid this means I will die earlier, but I don't have a choice in the matter. You know, this just speaks to the urgency of this situation. And, you know, we're hearing these stories. It's hard to know how widespread a story like Sarah's or Andrew's is. But if their alternative is to go to free clinics that they have to wait a long time for, why not? Why doesn't the government, you know, move more quickly to create some kind of system, even if some people feel that, you know, national health care, you're going to have to wait? I mean, it almost sounds ironic to say we're waiting for community health program, weeks for community health programs for these people, but we don't want a national health care system because we're going to have to wait too long for doctors.
I actually spoke to the Association of Community Health Centers earlier today, who was saying that they are seeing a very big upswing in demand. There is more money for them also in the stimulus bill, but obviously, you know, it's hard to imagine that would be enough to shorten the wait by a whole lot. And these are places, you know, I might point out, that serve people with insurance and people without insurance and people with Medicaid. I mean, it's for people who are underserved, you know, in areas where there are not a lot of healthcare facilities, as well as people who don't have a lot, you know, either a lot of money or don't have insurance. So it serves a variety of sources, community health centers.
And I don't mean to overdramatize this, but Sarah seems to feel that it's possible. She's really truly feels it's possible she's going to die soon.
I think that there are. Atul Gawande wrote a piece in The New Yorker in which he talked about last week, where he said in the switch from Medicare to Medicare Part D, because there was some ramping up time, he thinks that there were probably people who died because they couldn't get their medicine on time.
So this is a real thing.
This is a real thing, but I wanted to make three other suggestions. And again, these are stopgap. These are Band-Aids. I don't pretend that anything I'm suggesting is an alternative to a national health reform. But that's not happening today, and these people are calling in today. And my other suggestions would be to go to the foundations, the Lupus Association. If you have a condition, then you should call the organization. Again, I believe that search engines are your best friend. Librarians are your best friend. The other thing that you would want to do is go to healthfinder.gov and look up the calendar of observances, because very often there are free testings on certain days. So if it's National Ovarian Cancer Week or Breast Cancer Awareness Month, there'll be free mammograms, there'll be free ovarian screenings. Those organizations have some money that they can use to be able to certainly pay for screenings and then perhaps to pay for treatment. And then I want to suggest, in fact, a clergy member mentioned this to me, and you want to go to your church, you want to go to your synagogue. If you find yourself with health bills, you have to pay them. You will find yourself in terrible debt. Look for every resource of assistance. I'm not pretending this is easy, but I just urge you to look at every avenue, including your pastor, your rabbi, these associations.
All right, let's take another call from Lewis, who's calling from La Crosse, Wisconsin. Hi, Lewis.
Hello there. How's it going?
Good, good.
What I found myself a situation like the previous caller, who even with insurance from a retail company, chose not to have the colon procedure after I turned into my 50s, simply because after the insurance and with the deductibles, it still would have been $3,000 to $4,000 out of my pocket, and that would have wiped out my so-called emergency medical savings account.
Right.
Since then, I lost my job, but did maintain the COBRA, which is absolutely fantastic for just dental. Unfortunately, with a pretty bad sweet tooth here, I'm at the dentist constantly, and that really comes in handy. Now, my question is, the company that owned the store that I lost my job from is now selling that store. It's a local company selling a major hardware chain, and I'm wondering how that's going to affect the COBRA I have now and should continue to have, well, since September, for almost another year.
All right, let's get to Julie on that. Julie?
You should. The rules under COBRA, if the company goes out of business, then there's nothing to COBRA to.
Right.
But I believe that if the company is still in business and it's still offering health insurance, I think even if it gets sold, as long as it's still offering health insurance, your right to COBRA should go with that. I'm not 100% sure.
Any place that he should go to?
The Department of Labor.
Yeah, the Department of Labor will be able to tell you. But there's something I do want to add to both to this caller and to the previous caller. You know, the one thing that's most dangerous, I think, in this, you know, current economic climate is to go bare, to go without insurance, particularly if you have a pre-existing health condition. The important thing to remember is is 63 days, and that's the cutoff after which you're considered to have a break in health insurance coverage. If you can't afford the COBRA, and obviously there's going to be a lot of people who cannot afford the COBRA, you can find health insurance, and even if it's just bare bones health insurance that won't cover very much, that, you know, that will only, you know, pick up in the biggest of catastrophes, at least it will keep you covered, that when you get another job and do get, you know, health insurance with that job, you will not get dinged by this pre-existing insurance, you know, exclusion, which goes on for a year. So it is important to keep some kind of coverage. And if you do have to find it, you know, you can get on the internet, you can get, you know, maybe the bare bones coverage that it is not going to do very much while you have it, but it will protect you for the interim before you have to move, you know, before you get to move back to what you consider more comprehensive coverage.
Now, a question about that plan they're trying to get through with the stimulus plan to subsidize part of COBRA.
Mm-hmm.
Is that 60%?
65.
All right, so with that, I'm still looking at $240 a month for the health part of COBRA, which a lot of people out there with jobs would probably be willing to pay, but being on unemployment, again, I couldn't afford that.
That's tough. Yeah, it's
Lewis,
not a
thanks panacea. So much. I just want to thank you for calling in, Lewis, because we're going to try and get some more calls.
All right. Have a great day.
All right. Thanks so
Bye.
Much. And we're talking about your health in a recession, and I want to remind you that you are listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Let's go now to Robert, and Robert is calling from Aberdeen, South Dakota. Hi, Robert.
Hello, can you hear me?
I can. Go right ahead.
I'm 50 years old, and I had health care offered by my employer, but I could afford to buy a policy a little bit cheaper on my own. The employer basically was just a vehicle to offer the health care. But my hours have been cut back. I drive a truck, and because of the recession or whatnot, mine and everybody's hours have been cut back, and I have been put in a position where I can no longer afford to pay for it. I mean, it's literally just groceries or health care. And I'm, like I said, I'm 50, so I'm at that age where all the preventive things are really becoming important, and I just don't feel that I have any direction to go. You know, even the preventive stuff, you know, I mean, I go in for a checkup and you know, geez, it cost me a week's pay.
Yeah, so you would just wait until Robert, what would your reaction then be? You're just going to wait until you actually have to go, or there'd be an emergency?
Something goes wrong. I believe there's so many people in that situation. Yes, that's where I'm at.
Yeah, Fran?
I know the preventive is out of the question, and if something catastrophic goes wrong, well, then I guess I'll have to deal with that, but it, you know, I mean, it's, geez, I just don't feel like there's anything I can do except, you know, wait for an emergent situation.
You know, Fran, one thing I wanted to ask you about, because I think in one of your columns you said that, and I don't know how real this is, that there's a possibility you should talk to your doctor because maybe you can negotiate prices. Is that real?
You can possibly negotiate prices if you pay cash, but if you are insured, you cannot. They have made for the most part. They have, in fact, I thought you'd be able to say, doctor, can you waive the copay? But according to the American Medical Association, you cannot. They've made that contract with the insurer, and they cannot waive it, and they may not be able to waive the fee. If you're paying out of pocket, you may want to go to your doctor and say, can we make up a payment schedule? But I wanted to make a suggestion, and that is, first of all, Julie's suggestion to have at least something bare bones, something high deductible, is really crucial for both for catastrophic coverage and for continuation of care, continuity of care. But also, if you go into a hospital, now, if you don't have any resources and you, let's say, need a CAT scan, the Business Week reported that they're now saying to people, well, I see that you haven't maxed out your credit card, or I see you have a 401k, and they may ask you to use those resources. So having some insurance will help you to pay for some of those costs. If you find yourself not being able to afford care, particularly if you've gone to an emergency room, we have insurance. My daughter went to the emergency room for an asthma attack. If we hadn't had insurance, it would have been about $450. We paid on our way out and asked what would happen. And they said, Well, we would send you a bill. Don't wait for them to send you a bill. Go up to the financial office, work out a settlement with them without a credit card so that you're not paying interest. Sit down with them, work out a payment plan if you find yourself in that situation.
All right. Thanks for calling, Robert. Appreciate that. And just sort of in conclusion, one other thing, just a moment left, and maybe either one of you can take this, but this whole idea of not getting the preventive care, this is a potential serious problem, creating more serious problems for the healthcare system if people aren't getting the preventive care.
Yeah, it's clearly going to raise costs down the line for people who don't get preventive care and then end up needing more expensive care later.
Yeah. And I don't know if you wanted to add to that.
I'll just add quickly that the Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality on its website has a list of tests that you should have right through your life. Look it through when you need a colonoscopy, when you need a mammogram, and then go to healthfinder.gov and find the observances calendar. Match the tests you need to the tests that may be available for free or very low cost.
Okay. Francesca Lunzer-Kritz writes a weekly column on healthcare costs for the Los Angeles Times, and Julie Rovner is NPR's health policy correspondent. Thanks to both of you for being with us.
Thank you.
Up next, a new president and new talk of progress in race relations. Is Black the New Black? Syndicated columnist Clarence Page joins us on the Opinion Page. Stay with us. It's Talk of the Nation from NPR News.